Swaban?
Yeah, hi. Unfortunately, I don't have any children who will be impacted by this. I was hoping they would be, but it took so long for the new school to be built. All my children are out of elementary school now. I'm speaking as someone who was involved pretty heavily right from the beginning with the new school. And the busing issue is something that I wanted to speak to as a town meeting member and as someone in the neighborhood. And it was a previous administration. Pretty much the whole school committee is turned over. But I wrote many a letter to the editor, and I stood in front of town meeting. And one of the reasons that we, a lot of us, really believed in this school was that it was going to eliminate pretty much all of busing in Reading, and that it was going to provide a neighborhood school for just about every kid in town. And that was something that really resonated with me, and having seen the in the paper, and you'll forgive me, I should have been more up on this, but again, now middle school, high school, so forgive me if I don't have the facts down or the recent facts down as well as I should. But 5-6 years ago, when we went through this agony in town, that was a big thing. I've talked to several people that I have, you know, serve with in town meeting, and they were all concerned, and you know, couldn't be here tonight, but asked me to ask the, or to at least make these kind of things known. I know how hard people have worked on this, and we laughed, I shouldn't say laughed about it, but even 6 or 7 years ago, we knew that when redistricting came, it was going to be very, very difficult. And we knew, the school committee members, people in care, people in yet, everyone knew that this was going to be agony to try to divide neighborhoods by street. So I know that there is, you know, I can, you know, it's not hard to sense the angst in this room. But there's agony everywhere in town. I do have to say, though, just from the heart, because I don't know the details, and I know you've worked the details, and far be it for me to start second-guessing, but it just seems to me very, very difficult to take a group of kids who have been walking to the neighborhood school and bus them across town. And I know that they're, you know, that you've gone through this 100 times, but something right here and right here just doesn't feel right about it. And the other piece, just the personal note, is when you write something in the paper, you write a letter to the editor, you've talked to a lot of people, you've talked to the former superintendent. Again, I know that you weren't there, and most of the members of the school committee weren't there. And you write something, you want it to be accurate. And I feel very badly that if there is busing in town, we're busing kids all over the place, that what I put in the paper arguing for the new school was inaccurate, and I hope that doesn't take place. Thank you.
Yes, hello, my name is Tom White. I live on 46 Grand Street. I also obtained a petition from many of the residents on Grand Street with children in the Barrow School. I've submitted that to Mr. Scatini. I have since spoken to many of the parents who I was not able to reach, and they are more than willing to sign that. I'm also here on behalf of them. Many of them couldn't come tonight. And as a resident of Grand Street, I would like to speak on behalf of Grand Street. I've come to 3 of the 4 elementary school meetings, and I'm also here tonight. And there seems to be some kind of strange fascination with Grand Street. Eaton School, you've got many large group of people here who are talking about busing. We're one street, and I've heard more rumors and more speculation, and now there are folks showing up at public meetings who don't live on my street, who I don't know, who don't speak for myself and the neighbors and my children, and all the neighbors in my street. And frankly, we're pretty damn upset about it. So I'm here to let the superintendent know, and also the school committee, that we, Grand Street, are very happy in Barrow School. We understand that this committee and also the superintendent has done great work, but we would like to speak on behalf of ourselves, and we stand strongly in support of the plan to stay in Grand Street. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. White. I just want to make sure. You're saying you like the way it's set up presently?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
Sure, Mr. McFadden. We were not redistricted. We're currently in the Barrows District. We want to remain in the Barrows District, and we keep hearing about there's a natural boundary, you're part of the library. I've been on that street for 7 years, and the kids all play together.
Okay.
I've spoken to Mr. Scutini, and I said, those of us in the greater neighborhood who are friends are going to remain friends, our children are going to continue to play and be on Cub Scouts. I'm getting damn tired of coming to meetings and having people stand up and speak for myself, my children, and my neighbors, just as these folks would be if I stood up and said, hey, you should be bussed. They're not going to like that, and I'm very upset by that, and I'm very disappointed in some of the folks in this town who, under the guise of proclaiming to be neighbors, are standing up and assailing Grand Street, and I'm damn tired of it.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I just didn't understand you the first time. I apologize.
Hello again, Bill Downing, Avon Street. So, as I understand it, there are two groups of people who have decidedly, according to this proposal anyway, been bussed and where they wouldn't necessarily have to be bussed. And one is the Rustic Lane area, and the other is the Eaton East area. Rustic Lane wants to stay at Killam. I don't know if many of you have heard the story of George Washington and the Potomac River. It was said that George Washington could throw a silver dollar across the Potomac River, right near downtown Washington. It's between a quarter of and a third of a mile wide. People from Rustic Lane, if George Washington was standing on Rustic Lane, he could almost throw a silver dollar to Killam School. If George Washington was standing on Main Street in the Eaton East area, he could almost hit Eaton property with a silver dollar. And yet, those two areas, both of which want to stay at the schools that are within George Washington's quote-unquote throwing distance, almost, not quite, are the only two areas that are proposed to be bussed voluntarily. It seems to me absurd. And that's one point. Another point is, I was a little disturbed because of some of the comments you made after my last suggestion that the realtors and their empty nester theory was given more weight than the actual factual basis that we have for understanding what's going to happen at Eaton in the next few years. And I forgot to mention an actual fifth measure. I'm sorry, Carl, if I'm boring you with this, but
No, I didn't say that. That's what I'm trying. I didn't say we gave the realtors more weight.
I know. In fact, you denied that you did, but in fact, this proposal gives them more weight. And if someone supports this proposal, it will be showing more weight to an off-the-record hypothesis than an on-the-record actual statistical-based survey or census or factual-based thing. And I forgot to mention that there is a fifth point of information on this, and that is the one that was published in the Daily Times Chronicle recently. It was a human services survey that said the elderly population in Reading was going to be increasing within the next 20 years by 36%. And where our overall population, admittedly by virtually everyone here, is not going to be increasing that much because we've got most of our developable land developed, if our elderly population is going to increase 36%, then obviously our childhood population can't be increasing that much. And the census and survey data is probably far more accurate and far more factual than the off-the-record hypothesis of empty nester, quote-unquote, realtors. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You were reading early this evening, Carl, is that we were going to have some revisions to the plan this evening. And there's been a lot of input, and I didn't see any revisions, which concerns me that for as much parental involvement as we've had through the four meeting processes, none of it seemed convincing. And so I sincerely hope that the school committee takes that to heart, because with all this input, I think we've seen that there are some problems with this plan as it's laid out. I'll address minimizing busing. One of the issues we talk about is reducing cost for minimizing busing. Minimizing busing has a second meaning. Reducing cost is good, and it's always good to keep money into other aspects of the school system. But if we can have even less students on the buses, we've succeeded. And that really minimizes the number of students bused. It's not how many buses run, it's how many students are we having on a bus, and how many fewer students could we have on a bus if we did things just a little bit differently. And that's something that I think needs to be looked at, and I don't know if we looked at it from that angle. From what I've heard, we've considered the buses running anyway, so it isn't as much of an issue. The other thing is that if we say under 2 miles we don't bus, and there are some kids at 1.08 or 1.9 miles who would be affected by this redistricting, whose mother takes the boy to school every day and walks because she doesn't drive, I think that would be a severe imposition. I look outside, it's snowing today, and we're setting kids up in Reading, which is a wonderful place, so that they can say, I grew up in Reading, where I did walk to school both ways uphill through the snow. I think we can do better than that.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Yeah.
My name is Kathy Greenfield, and I live at 192 Woburn Street. That's next door to St. Agnes. We currently are at Joshua Eaton and have been redrawn into the Barrows School. I did go to the meeting at Eaton to make a request, and I've since put my request in a letter and just wanted to state it one more time for the record here tonight. I don't have any problem with the lines drawn as they are currently. The line goes up the middle of Woburn Street, and moving the line to include our side of Woburn Street into Barrows, I don't have a problem with geographically, per se. It seems to make sense. I have neighbors who have no children, toddlers, preschoolers, who I'm sure will be quite happy at Barrows. The issue I do have is that of grandfathering my now fourth grader, who will be a fifth grader at Eaton next year. He's the only one, as far as I know, the entire length of Woburn Street, who is currently at Joshua Eaton and would be asked to go to Barrows. He is one of four children, I believe, who would be making that move, and they're on four different streets, Lincoln, Wenda, Pratt, and Woburn, I think. And we're just asking you to consider, even if you can't do it district-wide, to let those children spend their fifth grade year at Joshua Eaton, enjoying their friends and the traditions they've looked forward to for a long time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Ralph Spano, Rustic Lane neighborhood, which consists of Field Pond Drive, Great Coach Road, and Carriage Lane. And I just wanted the school committee, I don't know if you want me to go up there and point.
Sure.
Can I do that?
Sure. While you're right there, one question. Superintendent Scatini, have we got an official report from Officer Murphy, the safety instructor, safety officer? Do we get an official report from him? I mean, if he's telling a resident that a particular area isn't safe, we need to make sure that we...
We've not gotten...
Can you please get Officer Murphy to, if there's a particular area that he has concerns about, that
us... There's been no written report that we've gotten from Officer Murphy, but I would assume that he would be at that meeting as well with the selectmen on the 18th.
Well, and I believe that's one of the issues to selectmen, because they're the ones who are in charge of the crossing guards, particular areas that they need to be concerned with in reference to safety. So, sir, thank you. Thank you. Ma'am?
Mary Ellen Ferolito from 17 Harriman Ave, and I guess I have two comments. The first one is, in some of the areas that there's a lot of concern, I would ask that somebody or the members of the school committee actually go to that area and say, you know, does this look right? In my instance, a line was drawn on two sides of my property, literally carving me out from my school district, which is Barrows. And I share a yard with my neighbor next door, and now we're in two different school districts, and it's the same yard. So I would just ask in the Eaton area, in my area, Washington, where there are areas that people actually go there and say, this doesn't make sense. I know my husband spoke with you and you didn't even know what Harriman Ave was.
I had to pull out the map. You're absolutely right.
Right, so that's, when you look at the map, it looks nice and pretty and the colors look great, but when you actually drive and sit in front of the house or you get in your car and see you can drive up the street to Joshua Eaton, it doesn't make sense when you look at it that way.
Right.
The second comment is... I also submitted a letter to the committee. I'm not sure if you got it yet. It was signed by three other parents asking you to look at grandfathering for the fifth grade students. Obviously, for Barrows, I feel that's my slant, but, you know, we have been bused to Wood End. They haven't been able to play with their friends as much. There's no after-school programs. Their recess is limited. It's a tough year for them socially. And, you know, grandfathering next year, there's only 13 children, and I believe... only 9 of the children would ask to be grandfathered. The rest would go due to younger siblings that would they know would not be grandfathered. So I just ask that the committee look at that and read our letter. Thank you.
Yeah, and ma'am, your husband did email me his letter today, which was sent to the superintendent, and I do thank him for that. Ma'am?
Paula Pasito, 9 Carriage Lane, and a proud member of the Rustic Lane neighborhood. First of all, I'd like to concur with Mr. Scatini about Reading being a neighborhood where people, a place where people move to stay. 14 years ago when I purchased my home, we had no children, and it was 3 years down the road before they came, but that was, in fact, the basis for coming, and the school was exactly one of the reasons that Reading was considered, and eventually where we decided to stay, and the Killam District in particular, which is where we're a part of right now. I have my youngest son is a fourth grader going into fifth grade, and it would be wonderful if he could stay in the Killam District. It would be nice for him to be able to finish his elementary career there. But that being said, I do believe that I know that I'm 2 miles definitely from the Wood End School, but what I'd like to ask you is I know at the last meeting, well, the one at Killam, it was asked for you to get in touch with the Mr. Jay Sullivan of the Mass Department of Education, and I wanted to find out how it was that it's measured, and was that decided, and have you talked to him? That's basically my question, and if you would let me know what that is.
Okay. Pat, did you have a chance to speak to Mr. Sullivan?
Yes, Mr. Richards actually spoke directly with Mr. Sullivan, and I spoke to Mr. Richards. It's called Portal to Portal, which is the street in front of the student's home, right in front of the student's home, to where the bus, where the bus drops off the youngsters in front of the school. So that's how it's measured.
Okay.
And that's how we would measure any youngster that would need, if they need a bus.
Okay, so that being said, it is very possible, and you probably have not perhaps confirmed mileage on all of the houses on the Rustic Lane area, but I know on Great Coach Road and Carriage Lane, those are two cul-de-sacs that Ralph Spino pointed out, there are three students that would indeed need to be bused, and that'll be it. I don't know about the Rustic Lane area. I don't know if you've confirmed the mileage. So we are asking, I am asking once again, and I concur with Ralph Spano, if you would consider tweaking the line in that area.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Pat, I just want to make sure, who does them? Is it Officer Murphy does the measurements? How is that determined? Like, who's the person that handles the measurements?
We've asked him to do that because they have a calibrated speedometer on the police cars, which obviously each of our cars will be a little different. So we've asked him to do certain things in the past and would ask him to help us with this process if it's needed. And we have it's quite a complicated process, more than what we, is simply any route to take. So we have that, and we have talked to Mr. Sullivan.
Okay, great. Thank you. Ma'am?
Hi, Laura Baker again. I apologize for being so abrupt earlier, but I was shocked at the non-response. So now that I've got my thoughts back together, can we have that slide back up one more time?
Which one?
The one with the guidelines.
Okay. It'd take probably a second for the machine to warm up.
While I'm up here, did we get our Boston Globe rep to come tonight or no? Probably the weather. I just want the school committee to understand that this is not one issue for Eaton East. There were a set of guidelines that were supposed to be used to come up with this redistricting plan, and it's all of the issues. It's not one. It's the safety. It's no more walking and now being bused. It's not the cost of busing. It's the it's being put on a bus 2 miles away when we currently walk. It's the social cohesion with our family and our friends and our neighbors and our children in their groups. It's the dangerous walking conditions and how I understand we can't address guard jet or snow plows or sidewalks. It's everything. And on top of that, all I've gotten back from the meetings is it's numbers. I know you hate to hear that, but it's numbers. And we fit that bill, too. We fit staying in Eaton, our kids. And you didn't use any of the guidelines to come up with this. So we'd like an answer as how you could possibly move these children out of Eaton. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Hi, I'm Christine Durst, Covey Hill Road. A couple things. I know when we were talking about
I'm sorry, Christine, I just can't hear you.
Sorry, when we were talking about Grand Street before, I think, just for clarification, and I'm not even in that area, I think one of the concerns with this plan for a lot of us is natural boundaries and seeing small neighborhoods that kind of a little road here or a couple of houses here or a backyard there aren't together anymore. And we're all having a really hard time with that because we identify with those small neighborhoods that are between major roads or more significant roads. And I think I've learned a lot by coming to all the meetings, and I'm glad I have done that because I think what I do see is that the superintendent had a really difficult problem here because of the placement of the school and because the numbers that exist near Woodend really didn't support the school as much as a lot of us that supported it would have thought. But I'm hoping that that as a school committee, there's a lot of requests here and a lot of requests to tweak here and there. I'm hoping that we've all survived the way we've been doing it for a while now, and I'm hoping that you'll give us as much leeway as possible to tweak as many of our requests as possible so that people really feel good about this still and really feel that this is a process where families are important. I know that the numbers have to come from somewhere, and you know, Rustic Lane is there for a reason, and Covey Hill Road is there for a reason, but I think if you live in the neighborhood and you know the individual places, and I also would ask you to come out and walk around our neighborhood and understand the patterns of the kids, and those of us that are really looking forward to walk into all three schools from that neighborhood, you know, to kind of understand if anything that you can give us would really be a help. I know this is a really difficult placement, and you look at that map and it's really obvious this is not an easy solution to come up with. So thank you.
Okay. Christine, one of the things in terms of you just mentioned, we're hoping that the numbers would have supported the school. Unfortunately, one of the problems happened is the kids got older. The school was delayed by litigation, the Sanborn Village kids are now in Coolidge.
Right.
So where normally they would have been in the Wood End area.
Right. And to keep in mind that those things will change to some extent, I suspect in a lot of our neighborhoods not a lot does change, and I think the history probably would support that for a lot of the neighborhoods. But on the other hand, if we can be a little bit flexible in how we deal with this, I think we'll have a lot happier people.
Sure.
And so any accommodations that can be made, we'd really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, Norm Blanchard from Ash Street again. I won't ask Mr. Richards to put the slide back up. I think I remember that it said, consider safety factors. Just 20 seconds of context. If what's being proposed is that our children will either on foot or by car or by bus go through what I would consider one of the most dangerous intersections in Reading where Ash Street, Main Street, and the railroad tracks all come together. You see accidents there, not regularly, but you do see accidents there. Thanks, Dave. And I'm wondering, bearing in mind that one of the directives was to consider safety factors, how, I would ask Mr. Schettini, how were safety factors considered in light of your decision where that's concerned?
As we begin to look at that area, we knew that busing would be something that would need to happen due to a variety of different reasons, whether they be distance or whether they be safety factors. So the issue of walking that area, we began to talk about what if we extended for that area because of safety issues in the lack of walking, being able to walk in an area, whether we extended the offer of the bus to that entire area.
Wait, I'm not sure I understood you. Did you say that the premise was that they were going to have to be bused anyways?
You have a bus that would go to that area regardless due to distance.
For the middle school or... For...
In the proposed plan, the youngsters that are in the area, Ash Street, Shackford Road, Cross Street, that area...
Yeah.
There's a number of those youngsters would need to be bused anyway, due to distance.
No, you can leave them in Joshua Eaton.
Norm, hang on. Just let him finish.
No, but that's a false premise.
Hang on. Let him finish.
They don't have to be bused anyways.
Norm, let him finish.
Would you like the answer to the question?
Without false premises.
Norm?
Yes.
In the current plan, listen to the whole thing, Mr. Mister. Listen to the whole sentence I'm saying. In the current plan, a number of youngsters that are in that area would need to be bused to kill him.
Right.
What we would suggest in terms of safety issues, we would suggest to the school committee one issue that they may have is concerns of parents is to extend the offer of the bus to all of the youngsters within that area, so that certain youngsters do not have to walk through this intersection that you're mentioning.
Okay.
Therefore, we would be able to address a safety issue in that area.
Okay. But wouldn't you minimize the safety problems by just leaving them at Eaton?
You asked me to give to you the information that we use to address the safety factor in that area. I've given that to you. If you're asking a rhetorical question that you want me to answer, I'm not going to answer that.
Okay. Hey. Okay. We got 5 minutes, and then we need to do teachers' negotiations. So anyone that has not spoken already, please come to the mic. Yep. You're next. I just want to make sure everyone understands. I'm going to recognize anyone that has not spoken as of yet, to be fair to everyone. Ma'am?
My name is Linda Haggerty, and I'm on Ash Street also. One of the guidelines was natural boundaries. I think it's very clear to everyone here that railroad tracks should be considered a natural boundary.
Okay. Thank you. Sir?
Jim Begley. I'm at the corner of High and Washington Street.
Jim, could you speak up a little bit closer to the mic?
Trying not to yell into the mic. I've got one little boy. We've just moved in from Stoneham. And he he started the school. Now you're asking him to, he's only had a year and a half there, now you want him to take him where he's two-thirds of a mile from Joshua, to go over, bus him 2.5 miles, take him away with his friends to Birch Meadow for 2 years, then to come back and have be a stone's throw away from Parker Junior High, to take him away from his friends for 2 years and then have him rejoin him back in at junior high just doesn't make sense.
Okay, thank you. Sir?
Larry Hurley, Ash Street. Kyle, I just wanted to let you know that we, as a whole, aren't surprised by this tonight, and you had mentioned that not everyone's mind was made up. After the Killam meeting, myself and several other of the neighbors spoke with Mr. Carpenter. I'm sure he remembers the conversation. And he told us that everything was fine with the map. And after a while, it got a little animated, and he told one of my neighbors, if you can do a better job with the map, then you do it. So I think you can probably understand why we think we're down 1-0 before you even vote. Okay, so also, I know Mr. Spano brought up talking to the safety officer at the Killam meeting. I was just curious if Mr. Scatini had spoken with the safety officer after that meeting at all.
After the Killam meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's at the Killam meeting or not. I speak to him regularly, but I don't know if I've spoken to him since that Killam meeting.
Okay. Did you speak to him at all about the issues that Mr. Spano had brought up before you decided to go ahead with this?
Let me just explain. There seems to be a little bit of a problem with the fact of the process that we're using. It's the school committee that makes the decision regarding placement. That's by statute and by policy. It's the role of the administration to make a recommendation to the school committee and to provide any information that it may need to make that decision. We've done our job to come up with the proposal. That proposal is something that we have brought to the community. We've collected a lot of information. We've analyzed all the requests that the various areas in the community have said to us, and based upon that, we're keeping that proposal as a whole. It doesn't mean that the school committee cannot ask for additional information before it makes its decision. It's a process that we're using. It's a process that I trust the school committee to make the best decision in what it believes is best for the children, whether it's the same plan or a different plan. There's no ego in this for me or for the administration that has worked very hard on this. We want what's in the best interest of the community and the best interest of everyone based on all that we've done. And we provided all the data that we've used in a very open way to everyone that would like it. If the school committee believes that this is the best plan, we would support it. The school committee would like for us to take a look at something and make some change in that plan. That's the democratic process, and we would support that. So this is the process that we're using. It's a healthy process, and it's one that we need to take and go to the fullest. And whatever decision that the committee makes, I think we need to support it. And I want to take my hat off as a community member and say I think we need to support it. This is not an easy process to do for a community to go through.
Okay, one more quick thing. I had spoken with Mr. Dow after the Birch meeting as well. And I'd like to extend the offer to all the school committee members to come to our neighborhood on Ash Street at school time in the morning and take that drive to Killam. And busing or not, you'll see what I mean. And one last thing, I was told to ask if the under 2 miles that are going to be offered busing, are they going to have to pay for the busing?
I'm sorry. Right. We don't make decisions. Just so I see three people standing, okay? And as much as you want us in terms of we're making a determination on lines, I think you guys want us to make sure that we have teachers in the classrooms for September. So we need to start into negotiation sessions with the teachers union. So three people standing will be the last three speakers of the night. So, ma'am?
Hi, Jennifer LeConte on Bancroft Ave. I just wanted to touch upon what this gentleman in front of me had said about we're going to Birch Meadow next year. My child will be in third grade, fourth, fifth. And then if the middle school boundaries do not change, they will then go back to Parker, is my understanding. That's a pretty big change, considering these children have already had three schools in 3 years. I think that's asking a lot. I won't get into natural boundaries, although I do agree with Kathy Vaccaro. I'm not saying that Grand Street is where the line should be drawn. I don't know where the line should be drawn, but it's 44 children. And then you're going to have them go back a couple of years later to a school where they might know a few kids, but they've already made their friends. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay. Thank you. Sir?
Yeah. Dave Talbot, 75 Linden Street. My comment echoes some of the things other people have said. Our boys were in kindergarten at Barrows. They've spent first grade at Woodend, and now they'll spend second grade at Birch Meadow. And it's a bit of a disruption for them to be in three schools in 3 years when we haven't moved. Understand that you have to make some tough choices here. One of the points is that if one of the presumptions was let's have it be the least number of kids impacted, I think that is in a sense a higher impact because that's a handful of kids who are getting pulled out, and essentially it's as if they've moved to a different town. I've heard a couple of parents here tonight make similar comments where, okay, it might look good on paper that, oh, only four kids, but hey, those are four kids who are now among an entirely different population. And as anybody who has moved when they were kids can remember, that's tough on a kid. So having a few kids may not be the best in it. As you tweak, if you find a solution where larger groups move, you might find that it's actually better, and the parents might find that it's better. Secondly, our boys are now going to have to cross Lowell Street, as are a number of other children. That's a very busy street. The lights are only, you know, in the middle of town and down at Grove Street. And that's a safety hazard, and I don't know how that's going to be addressed, but we would like to know how that would be addressed. Our first request is we would like our children to stay in Barrows because it's continuity for them. And lastly, the issue of the middle school applies to our kids too, and that we would like to know that we have input into the middle school decision so that having spent 4 years now at with one group of kids, they don't end up going to middle school with same situation over there.
Sure.
So those are some of them. I think I've covered it all.
Okay.
But good luck with it. I don't know how you're going to do this in 3 weeks, but good luck. We would like to know, I think a lot of the parents would like to know, what is the process going forward, and do any of the board members have any reactions to any of these comments?
Okay.
Thank you.
Sir, one of the things in reference to the safety aspect of it, of crossing guards, that's most likely going to be the main topic on when we meet with the selectmen who are in charge of the crossing guards on the 18th. So those are the particular roads, for instance, Lowell Street. You know, if the existing plans was intact, we would have so many kids that potentially would use a crossing guard. Those type of questions will be on the 18th with the selectmen.
And do any of the board members have any reactions to anything that was said tonight,
I'm not going to ask them to do that now because we are behind schedule for teachers' negotiations. Mrs. Phillips, you get to be the last of the evening.
Linda Phillips on Willow Street. First of all, I'll say none of my children are yet affected by the elementary redistricting. And thank you, Mr. McFadden, for giving me the opportunity to get the last word in.
One way or the other, you always do.
I like that, especially when I have something important to say. A lot of people remember that this redistricting whole issue was caused by a new elementary school, and we're not going to argue the point because you know I have documentation, that we were told, as long with the busing issue, that children wouldn't be busing, and we were going to save money. A bus is $90,000. That's at least two teachers. And I know that's something the school committee is going to be looking for in the budgeting cycle, since the constraints with the state put us at like a zero-based budgeting this year, no increases in revenues.
Actually, 1%. We had the meeting the other night. It's 1%.
Yeah.
It's better than zero.
Well, the FinCom chairman said zero, just in case.
He actually said two.
You see some light in there. But if you didn't bust, that would be two teachers. So we got a school we didn't need, and now we find ourselves with having to fill it. And in order to fill it, we're taking classrooms offline at different schools under the guise of art and music, which I also know, and those in the know, that the Department of Ed says art and music is only a recommendation, not a requirement. because if it was a requirement, other districts would not be able to take art and music off their curriculum entirely because they didn't get overrides. So knowing the facts that we don't have to have art and music, we're having two rooms vacated in each elementary school for art and music, which is not a full-time occupation for the teachers who do it. They rotate between schools to make up a full-time job. But we cannot afford to put art and music teachers when we need classroom teachers. Those art and music rooms that we're redistricting all around town to leave vacant in every elementary school are going to be empty most of the time. And we know that enrollments have gone down. This year we went up, 12 kids. But we've been going down for 5 years, and the NASDAQ numbers show we're going down even more, about 89 in the next 2 years, which means more classrooms are going to be available. And we're going to try to fill them up with special ed programs and all day kindergarten programs. But I think we're tapped out there, one for each elementary school, because our prices are really not competitive with what you can pay for and send your kid out to. So I'm thinking out of the box.
Okay.
And I'm challenging the school committee to think seriously about causing this redistrict upset in the whole community when it's not necessary. I think we can send we have approximately 80 to 90 RISE preschool children at the high school. Why can't we send them to the Wood End School? Because they'd be out of the way of the construction over there. That fills up three classrooms. We have four all-day kindergarten programs. Now we would have...
Hang on. Pete. Pete, I got it.
So they won't be injured in the construction, which is an issue at the high school.
Guys, we're all...
Mr. Dahl, I'd be happy to debate with you, but
Mrs.
you don't want to do that.
We've had a productive evening. I want to continue that. If you have a point, which
yes,
it sounds
like... Yes, I do have a couple more points.
Let's get it done.
So we have the RISE kids at the new school. We have five elementary schools for five all-day kindergartens. That's another five classrooms at the new elementary school. The all-day kindergarten children do not need to be bused because that's a voluntary pay program. So we'd save money on at least one or two or maybe even three buses right there. So that's more money saved for more teachers. Then we have... The district didn't pan out with the population that some of us knew was not going to come in that area of town. So we could still take the children who are only within walking distance of the new elementary school, could walk to that school, and there would be at least one grade of each child, third, fourth, fifth grade, of children that live within the district that could walk, and that could be one of the criteria. So the new school would be filled. Every elementary school would have art and music rooms that would still be available for other uses, and they would have the all-day kindergarten classroom, which takes up one classroom in each elementary school, would now be available as well. So you'd have three available extra classrooms at each elementary school. You wouldn't have any busing. You wouldn't tick off the parents. You guys would look like real heroes. Despite the fact, I understand the superintendent spent a lot of time on this, but everybody's thinking in the box that someone else has created. And I'm saying we don't need a box. Common sense tells us what the best thing is to do. We are given a new school. We have an opportunity to fill it any way we want. And we don't need to bus kids out of their neighborhood to go over there. So I'm glad that you're open-minded. I'm not running for school committee. I'm glad that you're open-minded. I challenge the rest of the committee to keep an open mind. I applaud one of the previous speakers who admitted that he worked for the new school on the grounds that we were going to save money on busing. Some of us were skeptical enough to know that that wasn't how it was going to turn out. And I'm sorry to say we find ourselves in this situation. But I know you can work it out. I think we need to think outside the box. And you'll be increasing the capacity at all the elementary schools. You won't be paying for busing. And if you still have extra rooms available at the Wood End School, you could have a special ed program, any other programs there for your entrepreneurial special ed program or whatever else you do. Think about it. I know probably because I said it, you won't do it, but I'm saying it here tonight. It's on the record.
Right. Mrs. Phillips, thank you. And Linda, may I ask one favor of you? What you rattled off, okay, please send that to me. I know you have my email address. Please send it to me in writing because I missed half of it because It's out of the box? I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you all for tonight, and I just want to make sure everyone understands the process from here. We will be meeting with the selectmen on the 18th, most likely to discuss safety issues. Will primarily be the topic of that night. Between now and the 21st, the school committee will be sending requests for clarifications or thoughts, ideas, whatever adjective you want to use to describe that, to the superintendent. He will then publicly answer those questions on the 27th. On the 27th, we will make a decision on what the redistricting is going to be. Please be aware, I'm using myself as an example. If I make a recommendation for Street A, not ABC Street, just Street A, and that is seconded by Mr. Spadafore, if four members of the school committee vote in favor of my recommendation, that's what it's going to be. If four members vote no, then it's over. Okay? It's not unanimous. It has to be a majority so that everyone understands that. All right? I just want to make sure everyone understands the procedure. I will repeat this again on the 27th. I do thank you for all of your input. I hope no one feels as though no one has been ignored, because I know from personal experience, I've had people call me Thanksgiving Eve at 9 o'clock at night. I had a wonderful conversation with them. I had a wonderful conversation with a man last night, and the reason I pulled out the map was because I wanted to make sure I knew what street we were talking about. We do want to know. You got to remember, we live in this town. We want to minimize any unnecessary confusion, harm, anxiety on the children. Okay?
Yeah. Kyle, is that a public meeting, the Board of Selectmen and the school?
18th.
And where is it?
Is that going to be at Coolidge or?
Parker.
Parker, upstairs on the second floor of Parker.
What time?
7:30, we usually start. And we will be back here on the 27th at 7:30 also. Thank you. Please, all these are open meetings. Please, drive safely. Thank you.
Move to adjourn to executive session for the purpose of negotiating strategies, and we will not be moving out of executive session coming back. Thank
sir,
you.
Is there a second? Roll call vote, Pete, Lelaine, Lise, John, Rob, and myself, yes. Thank you.